okay, my dream girl is gonna. She is. Let me tell you something. Why I say that. I've had about 40 dreams of just meeting Drea, and I continually always have a dream like we just met. I'm trying to get a date, but she has to do something. You know, she's been everything. She owned a little shop. I went in there to talk to her, and then she said, "I'll go out with you," but then there's certain things, you go to church, and then I was like, "Yeah," and then. But I always have a dream that I just met Drea.
Wow.
Like 40 different dreams like that.
Wow.
And I had my last one last week. That's why I was like,
wow.
She's just my dream girl.
Wow. Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Okay,
Hallelujah.
Let's pray.
You want to stay one more time?
Amen.
Huh? No. Amen. Amen. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you, dear Jesus. We thank you for our 21-day journey to Lord that we went out together, dear Jesus, just as a family, and just encourage each other, dear Lord, through scriptures, dear Lord, through prayer, dear Lord, and just in the fact that we did it together, dear Jesus, separately but together. So we thank you, dear Lord. We pray that you continue to lead us, dear Lord, to break those strongholds in our life, dear Lord, to connect us with your Spirit, dear Jesus. I pray over Sandy this afternoon, dear Lord, that you minister to him, dear Lord, as he's speaking to us, that your Holy Spirit continues to flow. He stands as a conduit, dear Lord, to receive from you. We thank you, dear Lord, as we come together to sup with you with this meal, dear Lord. Let our hearts be bowed to receive what you have in store. Let us hear with a listening ear, dear Jesus. Actively listen to receive from you this afternoon. We bless you and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. Have a seat. I want to talk about a couple things. I've been doing some really heavy studying because of some confusion on the numbers that we had on Wednesday night. And when I got through studying, I realized that the original Hebrew text clears up the whole thing. So we were correct in our study on Wednesday night that the first four books of the Torah equals 4,894. And if you minus this year, which is 5787, year 121, and it blends into 122, when you minus it, you get 888, which is Jesus. Then if you took Deuteronomy with the 959 verses and you subtracted 888, which is Jesus, you got 71, which is the Holy Spirit. So all of these numbers are absolutely correct. The only problem was on the original study, it had one scripture missing, but we put that scripture back in and that's what made everything work. Okay? So it kind of shows that God is very integral with the way he wrote the scriptures, how many words he used, how many verses he used, how many chapters he used. Everything was on purpose, okay? God wrote the Bible. And yeah. I keep trying to tell people, anyone that tells you man wrote the Bible, that is like the dumbest thing that anyone can ever say, because it is impossible for a man to write a book and tell you what's going to happen 2,520 years later.
Yep.
Okay? Amen. So God has proven himself by writing a book that's completely outside of our time zone.
Yes.
And outside of our, not outside of our understanding, because you can understand it if you want to.
Yeah.
You can swim not to the bottom of the ocean, because I keep swimming and I get to the bottom and it goes 10 more feet of water. So, but it is a very deep book and you can understand it on whatever level you want, rather it's an elementary level, which they have in Hebrew, which is a very respectful level, because when you read the word of God, it fills you and cleanses you no matter whether you're deep in the Hebrew and Greek or whatever, right?
Right.
It's still going to heal you and cleanse you. But you need to know that God is very detailed in the way that he wrote the Bible.
Yes.
So that when you read it, you will know.
Yes.
That man did not write it. There's another Hebrew rabbi, he says all of our names are in the Tanakh, in the Torah. And he says, and he says one of these days you're going to find out that God put your name and what would happen in it in the Torah, and you'll be able to find out. Now, I don't know if that's true, but if it was, it wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
So I just want you guys to know how incredible the Word of God is.
Yes.
And how I'm going to teach you something real fast, and then we're going to get into our Bible study, because the name of this Bible study today is The Intentional Fight. And I already had the message, and then I heard three of them in there, and I was like, they just stole my message. But actually, she didn't. It was like, it was basically, she was studying for this yesterday. So, I want to show you something, and I want to show you something that's very important so you understand and know something. Okay, now, listen, in the Bible, when the angels sinned, these angels were called the Benahai Elohim. They were called the sons of God. You know why they were called the sons of God? Because they were directly created by God,
yes.
Okay? And so when God came and died on the cross for our sins, then in Romans it says anyone who accepts Jesus Christ becomes the sons of God. We become the Benahai Elohim. You know why? You are directly created by God.
Yes.
That means if God didn't die on the cross, you would never have the Holy Spirit in you.
Amen.
So you are a new creature, and you are directly created by God. So God calls you a Benahai Elohim. You are the sons of God.
Yes.
Okay? Not the son, and you ain't the firstborn. No, let's not get Benny Hinn with it. But we are the sons of God. We are the family that God has birthed.
Yes.
Okay? So, and that numerical value for the sons of God is 153, okay? Now, if you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 12, and you counted all the words in Hebrew, it would be 153 words. So the 12 apostles are preaching so that they can win the sons of God to salvation. But God already knew he was going to do this, so he put it in Genesis chapter 1 through 12. So you got 12 verses that give you 153 words.
Yes.
That is not accident, okay? In the Gospel of John, they are in the boat. It's seven of them. How many churches are there?
Seven.
There's seven of them in the church. They see Jesus at the shore, and he calls them to come over. To come here, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get over there, and they have 153 fish in their net, representing what? And when they get there, Jesus already cooked a meal for them. Mm-hmm. So they go to the wedding feast, and they got the sons of God with him, and Jesus Woo! Already cooked. You understand? So God is trying to tell you, look, everything is always going to equal out because I'm letting you know what I'm doing, okay? So you get the first four books of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The number of chapters is 153. Okay? So that's the fourth book, which is the fourth book is the door, and the door is Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first cross we looked at is where? In the book of Numbers. You can stand on a mountain and look down and see the cross. Okay? So you need to know and understand. Now, if you take Deuteronomy, all the numbers of Deuteronomy, 959, and you subtract Jesus, you get 71, which is the number of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's more to this, but it would have all gotten messed up because when they canonized the scriptures, they took one scripture, they didn't take it out, they added it to the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And so Numbers chapter 25 only had 18 verses instead of 19. And so therefore it threw the whole count off. So I was doing it and I was going, this whole thing is off. And so I started studying, and one of the guys said, no, it's supposed to be 19 verses. It should be in the original. And so Emerson gave me this book. This is the original ancient Hebrew text in here, right? So I looked in here, and Numbers has 19 verses. So they did it correctly in this book. And I like, this is proof that you cannot mess with the word of God because it'll throw everything off. You understand? One little scripture that they took and decided to just add it to the other one and take one scripture, it would have threw everything off, and you wouldn't have known 5782 is an important year.
Right.
888 and the Holy Spirit are about to do a work. You would not know that, but because we have the ancient Hebrew scripts that are not messed up, because remember, if you was writing, you was a scribe writing the Hebrew text, they would have, and you messed up one thing, they don't tell you to throw it in the trash. They say they kindle a fire and they take it out there and they burn it. Why? It was missing one letter. So understand how important God is when he's trying to tell you a story and put numbers to it so that you'll know his precision. You understand? Praise God.
Amen.
Could have went over there, but no. Now, I need us to go to the Gospel of John chapter 3. The name of this message is called The Intentional Fight, and it's perfect for our fast because our whole thing was to be intentional.
Yes.
And if you're going to be a born-again Christian, you can't accidentally grow in Christ. I'm telling you, right? You have to be very intentional about it. Mm-hmm. You understand? I mean, and God is always instructing you to be very intentional about it. That's why you have scriptures that say study to show thyself approved. Pray always. All of these scriptures are instructing you what? How to fight. Because if you don't do this intentionally, and if you don't guard yourself intentionally, you're walking around kind of living happy-go-lucky, and that's not how your enemy is fighting.
That's
you understand?
Right. Amen.
So God wants us to be intentional so that we can have a victory. So let's look at this journey. You in the Gospel of John? To chapter 3. I'm doing this for a lot of people, you guys, so I want you to don't, we know the basics, but this is very important because everybody don't know the basics. Okay? Here it is in John, Gospel of John chapter 3. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the miracles, the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and of the Spirit.
Yes.
Flesh gives birth to flesh. But spirit gives birth to spirit. Mm-hmm. You hear that?
Yes.
A spirit gave birth to you. When you accepted Christ, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, born of the Spirit of God. That's why it's not comfortable to live in sin anymore. And it should be uncomfortable if the Spirit of God lives in you. Okay? So let's finish this. It says, you should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it please. You hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How many here born again? So if you haven't accepted Christ, you can't be born again.
Right.
How many of you have spoken in tongues? Now, does this make you born again?
Nope.
How do we know? I'm going to tell you how you know. There's a scripture that God says, if Satan knows how to, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, okay, you being evil, how much more do I know how to give good gifts to my children?
Yes.
And will I not give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? So how can they be his children if they don't have the Holy Spirit, if they have to go and ask? You understand?
Right.
So the fact that you haven't spoken in tongues, that's between you and God. If that's what you want, right, ask for it and he'll give it to you.
Right.
But you speaking in tongues does not make you more born again or less born again than you were on the day you were born again.
Amen.
You understand? Now, if you want power and you want to move in ministry and you want the power of the Holy Spirit, ask for it.
Yes.
And God says, I will give to my children because I know how to give to my children.
Yes.
If you being evil know how to, these are my children. If they ask, I'll give it to them. Okay?
Amen.
So never listen to anybody tell you, you ain't had the Holy Spirit, so you ain't born again. That's just foolishness.
Right.
That means you haven't read the Bible. Okay? Now, being born again is very important. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, 19. Let's go to Romans. What a great deception.
Yeah.
To teach a whole world of people, have nothing to do with God. Be yourself.
Right.
You don't need his spirit in you. If you don't have a spirit in you, you can't. You will never see the kingdom of God.
That's right. Yeah.
Since there's only two places to see, I think I would want the spirit of God in me because I'm going to see either heaven or I'm going to see hell.
You don't see one of them.
So I want to be born again.
Yes.
Why is it so hard and difficult to convince somebody not to go to hell? You're in Romans chapter 10. Let's read verse 9. A matter of fact, let's read verse 8. Start off at verse 8. But it says, what does it say? The word of God is near you, and it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. Okay? That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be born again. Okay?
Amen.
You will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with the mouth that you confess and are saved. Okay? Now, that word confess is both pistis and emuna, which means I believe in something I can't see, and I'm going to be faithful to it.
Yes.
Okay? And they're both verbs. I want you to know that. They're verbs. So now it's just, now you've agreed to get into a continuous relationship with God based on the fact that you believe in his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay? It's a marriage. You don't say I do for today. Yes, for when? The rest of our lives till life do us part, right?
That's right.
So this is what God is looking for. People who want to be saved, okay? People who want Jesus Christ in their life. Listen, if you don't want to be saved, it's like, and we've all been there because the world is full of deception. But don't be deceived until you get to hell.
Right.
You have the opportunity in this life to give your life to Jesus Christ, to make that confession, and then to become faithful to the one you've confessed to.
Yes.
Okay? Because you cannot say I do and then go back to clubbing and spending 3 days away from home.
Ooh.
Because your bag will be packed. Do you understand?
Burn up.
Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going We're going to be in the scriptures today, you guys.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence,
yes,
continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So now, if you are not in a fight for something, why is he telling you to work this out with fear and trembling?
Amen.
So not only is he saying, remain in faith, walk with Christ, fight the good fight, he's saying, work your salvation out.
Yes.
To do it, you have to put some effort into it. Listen what I'm telling you. To do it, you have to put some effort into it.
Yes.
It's foolish to think you can come to Christ and just grow.
Amen.
You get born, but we're not going to feed you. You'll just grow. What's going to happen? You're going to die.
Right.
Right? So in Christ, you have to come in with the purpose of growing. You have to come in with the purpose and the intention of growing.
Yes.
Your parents don't feed you accidentally. They do it on purpose.
Amen.
You wake up, you're crying because you want to eat. They come in, they feed you on purpose.
Right.
Why? For growth.
Yes.
There's no accidental growth in Christianity.
Amen.
You cannot go without doing intentional things and expect for unintentional things to happen. You understand?
Amen.
Preach. Here we go. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. When you get there, I will begin to read. I want us to be reading together today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It says here, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not give up on what? Do not give up on what? You're walking Christ. So that means he's not even talking to non-believers. He's talking to Christians. And he's telling Christians, do not be mocked. Is that, dude, understand this. God cannot be mocked. Meaning, you cannot pull a fast one. You cannot say, I meant to do right. Because he knows your heart and your intentions.
Right.
You understand? We can do that with men, but you can't do that with God. God will not be, he cannot be mocked. Everything you do, he's there.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit should be convicting you of everything you do.
Yes.
Because if it's not right, it doesn't matter if it's big or small, the Holy Spirit's going to make you feel uncomfortable.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Until you repent.
Yep.
And if you got no forgiveness, he'll tell you, you need to go and forgive him. You need to tell him that they're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, and you'll hear it, and you'll hear it until you do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit is inside of us.
That's right.
And he's what? He's that parent that he's doing this because he wants you to do this on purpose. So he's like, I'm urging you to go on and to grow and to live and to move in Christ. So we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We want to make sure that the Holy Spirit can tell us what to do and we listen.
Yes.
The word quench just means to pay no attention to. Ignore. Not today. I like how I am. Okay? This is all part of the walk that we're in.
Amen.
I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Are you there?
Yeah.
Amen. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God.
Mm.
Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled over the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, that did what? Sanctified him. That means it already sanctified
right.
you. You're already saved. But you deliberately keep on sinning.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit keeps telling you, hey, you can't do that. Don't go there. But you can ignore. You can quench the Holy Spirit. This is why God gives us an instruction not to do it.
Amen.
It's a parent telling you that's not going to be good for you. Told our brother, don't you go around there to this party, to that party. We said, there's gang members there. He just came here from Miami. He didn't know what a Crip or Blood was. And I'm going to have fun. Some of my friends going to be. I said, boy, you go. He went over there and he ran back home screaming like a little girl. They're shooting. I saw dead people. I said, we told you not to go over there. Understand? God doesn't tell you things so he can boss you around.
Right.
I'm telling you things to try to save your life.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
We gonna, oh, here it is. The Lord wanted me to tell you this. Salvation is a free gift from God by grace. We all agree?
Yes.
Every free gift comes with instructions. You understand?
Yes.
Because something's free does not mean you can't lose it.
Right.
That's why it comes with instructions. Everything that's free, you can destroy it.
Yeah.
If you don't do the proper things to take care of it.
Right.
Salvation is like a car. It's free. Here's the keys. But now I got to give you instructions. Okay? Oh, I already know. Put gas in it. That's the bottom level knowledge right there, young man. You need insurance.
Mm.
You need a driver's license.
Right.
You need to put some oil in it.
Right, hello.
Okay? You need to not take it to really bad neighborhoods. See, now that's just a South Central thing. Like, don't be cruising around the neighborhood over on Grape Street, right?
Right.
You're going to tell them some things because you're trying to do what? Protect the free gift that you gave them.
Yes.
This is all God is doing when it comes to salvation. You have it. You already have it. You've already been sanctified. Now I'm going to tell you how to take care of the gift.
Yes.
What to do? What not to do. How to stop sinning. Do you know there's a manual on how to stop sinning? It's called prayer. It's called prayer.
Yeah.
The hardest sins in the world cannot stand against prayer when you take it to the altar.
That's right.
God will eventually burn that thing up.
Yes.
I'm telling you, God will burn it up. I don't care what I was dealing with when I became a Christian, that today they are no longer a problem.
Yes.
From marijuana to pornography, from a bad mouth to all kinds of stuff, all of it is like defiled to me now. I would not want to be involved with any of it. How did that happen? That's prayer. Why? See, if you have a problem that you want burnt up and you don't take it to the altar, that means you ain't really trying to get over it.
Right.
If you don't pray about it and ask God to deliver you from it,
right,
you don't really want deliverance.
Right.
So you start becoming a mocker. You understand?
Yes.
You start, and the mocker is me. Oh, the only reason I do it is because. Well, the only reason I do this is because.
Mm-hmm.
And then God is like, it's an excuse.
Yeah.
I remember one time, I went to school, and I was late, and the teacher asked me, what's your problem? Why are you late? And I was like, oh, it was, the bus was slow today because there was a lot of traffic, and da-da-da-da this, and da-da-da-da-da. And he said, what street you live on? I said, 76. He asked the young lady, what street you live on? She said, 84. That means she lives on five or six more blocks further away from the school than me. He said, she lives five blocks further away from here than you do, and she was on time. So tell me what the real problem was.
Mm.
The real problem was you was too lazy to get up on time and get here. It wasn't important to you.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
I was trying to mock him. I was giving him an excuse.
Right.
He was giving me what we ought to do. If you wanted to be here, you'd have been intentional about getting up earlier, getting on an earlier bus, and getting here if you really wanted to.
Right.
You'd have been intentional about doing what you needed to do. You understand?
Yep. It makes some enemies, Pastor Sandy.
Love is unconditional. It's free. It's agape. You guys know what agape love is? It's not unconditional. It's brotherly love. That means it takes two people interacting with each other in love for agape to be love. You understand? To be brotherly love. So that means the relationship that you're in with God is not one way.
Right.
It's reciprocal. It means I'm giving, showing you love, and I want to see something back. You understand? Because see, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no such thing in the world as unconditional love. You think so? Because I'm telling you right now, anybody can get fed up.
Amen.
Jesus said it took me 490 years. That's how long I forgave y'all.
Mm-hmm.
490 years. And I said, now you're going to Babylon.
Right.
I can't take it no more.
Right.
So that means, see, because when they came in a relationship, God had conditions.
Right.
I was explaining to Israel this week on the way to school. I'm like, do you know what the difference between religion and relationship is? I said, because you're not in a religion. Religion has rules. When I wanted to be a Muslim, they give me a rug and told me I got to face east and pray five times a day. I said, who am I going to be praying to? Because if Allah ain't God, I don't know what I'm praying to.
Right.
But I got to do it five times a day. And they were giving me all the things, the rules for the religion. But I was in a religion with nobody.
Right.
Because there's only one God.
That's it.
And only one God died on the cross for your sins. So therefore, you're not in a relationship. You're in a religion.
Right.
You're doing ritual things to nobody.
To nobody.
Or to demons. Mm-hmm. But you're definitely not in a relationship with God. So in every relationship, we expect things. We expect people, don't come home drunk all the time. Don't hang out in the clubs. Don't cheat on me. You know what I mean? There's things that is like, pretty soon you're like, obviously you don't want to be married.
Right.
Your stuff's on the front porch. Right? So, love is conditional. There's no such thing as unconditional. Mm-hmm. I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Does he have some conditions?
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
His conditions is not to have sin control me, but me control sin. I can't live in sin and be in Christ.
Amen.
You can't do it.
Amen.
I'm going to go here because I need to. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6.
That's a good word, Pastor Sammy.
Young lady today, I was listening to her testimony, and it was God really hit, was trying to heal her. How many of you guys know of a young girl who won the singing contest called Jess Sam? You ever heard of her?
Jess Sam?
Jess Sam. That's her name. That's her singing name.
Oh.
And she said she went to her church, and she was dealing with homosexuality. She was dressing like a boy. She said everybody called her a girl because they didn't know if she was a boy or a girl.
Oh.
And said she went to the church and they prayed over her. She accepted Christ and got saved. She said a week later she had an audition for Singing with the Stars or whatever, right? She entered the contest and she went from first step. A matter of fact, in the middle of the audition, she stopped it and asked the people who were judging her to pray with her. And she ended the prayer with in Jesus' name.
Woo!
And this is like Lionel Richie and some other people, Katy Perry, all of them, right?
Uh-huh.
She ends it with in Jesus' name.
Wow.
And then she sings for them, they love her. She's off to Hollywood. She sings there, she wins there, she's off to the next show. She sings so good, they take her to Hawaii to sing. They take her shopping, she puts on this beautiful dress, she's growing her hair out. Remember, she just got saved out of being a lesbian.
Right.
She was growing her hair out, she put on the dress, she sang a song, and the lady told her, you look so beautiful and feminine up there. The way you were singing was absolutely wonderful. She said, I had a dream before I got baptized and saved, God showed me myself with long hair in a beautiful dress, and all the people loved my song. It just happened right in front of me.
Wow.
So then she won the thing, she signed a record deal, and then today she says, well, I'm no longer, the record deal label left me. And she said, oh, that's okay. The interviewer said, that's okay. You're still gonna do well. You're still gonna get your record. She said, yeah. He said, are you in a relationship now? And she said, yeah. And she's also an artist. So God delivered her from homosexuality, expanded her, gave her riches, fans, everything that she wanted, that she was praying for. God delivered her, saved her. And then once she got successful, she went right back to the Maya. Okay? And the record label let her go. So I'm like, see, when you get saved and you get delivered, you've got to start fighting.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can't get saved and delivered and just expect spiritual growth to come upon you.
Amen.
You've got to put some effort into it. Some Bible studies into it. Mm-hmm. Some Christian fellowship into it.
Yes.
Some prayers into it.
Yeah.
Some praise into it.
Yeah.
Put some effort in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do something.
Yeah. You read your Bible? Nah. How are you expecting to grow? I don't know. But I know the Lord. Not for long.
Okay.
And I can say that honestly because I've seen many Christians come in.
Yeah.
And then you see them one day and you say, how are you doing? Are you still reading your word? And they say, well, I haven't read in a while, but you know, I still believe in the Lord. How's life going? Not too good.
Yeah.
Of course it's not going good. You're not doing the things necessary to grow in this.
Right.
Come on, you
guys. Amen.
All right, I need us, did we ever read 1 Timothy chapter 6?
No.
Oh, I'm just talking. Yucky. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. And it says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue. How do you pursue something?
Chase.
You run after it.
Yeah.
And pursue righteousness. I'm running after it. I want to be righteous.
Yes.
That's instructions on your new car. But you, old man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith.
Right.
Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Listen. God said you made the confession.
Yes.
You're doing good. Now pursue it.
Yes.
You don't just... You ain't read your Bible in how long? You're not pursuing righteousness.
Amen.
You haven't prayed in how long? You're not pursuing righteousness. Righteousness comes by effort.
Yes.
Putting it, effort. You can't sit back and become a great Christian.
Amen.
That's right.
You're fooling yourself.
Amen.
And you're playing with sin. And you're mocking God. Now, once that young lady said, oh, I'm in a relationship with another girl. She's a musician too. She said, but I love Jesus. I said, now the demon got her way out there.
Yeah.
Because now she thinks that she can be involved in it. She knows she got saved out of it. She knows the dream she had.
Right.
She knows the dream she had. She had a dream that she was in a beautiful dress and her hair was long and God was showing, you're not a boy, you're a girl.
Yeah.
She gets baptized, accepts Christ, and goes, and God fulfills her every dream. And then she goes back to wallowing in the mire. Was it the pursuit of money and fame? What was it? We don't know. But one thing we know, she wasn't pursuing righteousness.
Right. Oh, man. Amen.
I need us to go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John,
10 minutes
not the Gospel of John, the Epistle of John, the first one.
10 minutes, Pastor.
Hallelujah. And I'm looking for it. Okay. All right. 1 John, chapter 3. Verse 6, if you're there, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. It says, watch this. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. See, the NIV can be jacked up on some days, and then some days it can be perfect.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that's what it says. If you're in Christ, you can't just keep on sinning.
That's right.
It's impossible. The Holy Spirit won't let you.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Watch this. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous. Just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. You hear that?
Yes.
The reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. Now, I thought I was going to have to check to explain the word harmatano, which means that it means continuing sin. If God lives in you, there's no way you can continue sinning.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit will not allow you to be in a comfortable relationship with God while you're sinning.
Amen.
Will you sin as a noun? Yes. Everyone who comes to Christ eventually does a couple of things they didn't want to do. Okay? And they eventually repent and say, let me get back on the bicycle and start riding again. Right?
Right.
So the word is not that you will not sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is forever standing at his side, pleading your petition of what? Of forgiveness. Because you're bringing it to the altar for what? To be burnt up.
Yes.
So if we sin, we have the right to take that thing and get it burnt up. I need this off my life.
Amen.
It ain't helping me.
Amen.
All right, I've been arrested twice for drinking. I need to, you know what I mean? I got drunk driving tickets. I need to be delivered, Lord.
Amen.
You need to find an altar.
Right.
Where people are really praying. Or you need to get one in your house.
Amen.
And stay on your face for a while. Mm-hmm. And so we can burn this thing up together.
Amen.
But you're going to have to pursue after righteousness.
Yes.
Because deliverance is not going to come by you. It'll happen. It'll just happen. I've never lost a pound thinking about it. I'm telling you right now. I have not one. Just, I've never been able to get in shape. Just thinking about it.
Just thinking about it.
I have to pursue it. You understand? Amen. I have to change my mind about some things that I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Okay? I really have to get into it. You understand?
Yes.
People, why are you working so hard? Man, I'm pursuing a better body. All right.
Amen.
Man, why are you going to church 3 times a week? I'm pursuing righteousness. Amen. Why am I doing this? Because I'm born again and I received a free gift from Jesus, eternal life.
Yes.
But it came with instructions because there's a guy in my neighborhood that steals eternal life from anybody who's not watching.
Right.
So I'm doing this to make sure mine is protected. Yeah. You step to me, you're going to find out I've been working out. You understand?
Amen.
But Satan's watching. He watched you not eat for 3 weeks. You think I ain't gonna attack you if you didn't work? If you didn't eat for 3 weeks, you think you're a good person to attack?
Yeah.
Man, I'm just looking for a meal. You can take what you want. I just need a meal. You understand?
Amen.
Satan's gonna always attack you because he's watching you.
Yes.
He's watching you. He's watching you so much, the Bible calls him the accuser.
Yeah.
When you sin, Satan's, look what they're doing, And you just blessed them, and look what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Can I take that? God bless. Yep, you know the rules. Yeah. They sinning.
The rules.
They can't hold on to anything.
That's right.
You're free to take it.
Yep.
Ask Adam. Ask Israel.
Yep.
Once you start sinning, Satan's going to start asking for stuff.
Yep. Yeah. That's true.
You got to know the game you're in.
Yep.
You start sinning, Satan's going to ask for stuff. And God's going to say, you can take it, but don't take the life. Because I can't give them blessings if that's how they want to live.
Right.
Listen. Repentance. This guy's leading has got to Christ on YouTube, you know, doing this testimony thing. And he says, you want to accept Christ? The guy goes, yeah. He says, what do I have to do? I was like, oh man, this is going to be good. He says, you have to agree with God that you're a sinner. I said, no! You don't agree with God you're a sinner? I agree with God that I smoke weed and it's not right. I haven't repented. Right. Repentance means turn.
Yes.
You have to agree to turn from what you're doing. You have to, if you're repenting and you say, okay, I've sinned in the past, but I'm at present time.
Yes.
You've got to repent means to turn from what you're doing.
Yes.
Not to agree with God.
Right.
I agree with God, I'm a weed head. Can I accept Christ now? Yeah. Okay, can I still be a weed head? Well, no, you got to repent.
Amen.
So we have to really know and understand when you're leading somebody to Christ, when you're trying to get them born again, when you're trying to let them know what this is all about. Listen, the rich man, when he died, landed in Hades and said, I am in much torment in these flames. Satan knows hell exists.
Yes.
I ain't talking about the tribulation. Anybody in hell would pay $1 million to go through tribulation.
Yeah.
Because here they'd be like, I accept Jesus in tribulation. But there are people right now in Hades with worms on them, crawling on them, in pits, in torment, who, no matter how many times they heard the gospel, said no thank you.
Yeah.
Or they accepted the gospel and trampled on the covenant and trampled on grace and then ended up there.
Yep.
I think every Christian should read
Divine
Revelation of Hell. Because her testimony was, there was a lot of people there that used to know Jesus. Mm. And there's a lot of people there that wanted to change their mind, but it was too late. But the saddest people, to me, were the people that used to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
She said there was a preacher there. He knew Jesus. He preached Jesus. And he's like, if I have another chance, Lord, if you take me out of here, and I had another chance, I won't take the money. I'll do the right thing. But look. You only get one shot at this.
That's it.
You understand? So you gotta put everything into it.
Amen.
This is the Super Bowl.
Yep.
This really is. This is it. This is the big game. This right here is the big game. That means you're gonna put everything into it.
Yeah.
You understand? Because losers get nothing. Winners get everything.
Yes.
And it all depends on rather, you are going to be intentional about your walk in Christ. Are you intentional about this?
Yes.
If we bring this fast to a close, this is not the time to bring intentional to a close.
Amen. Amen. Say that, Pastor.
I'm intentional. People don't understand that. They think I walk around like, oh, I'm holy, Pastor Sandy. I don't have to do nothing. I'm at home like, where's that scripture? Father God, in Jesus' name, could you show me that one? Thank you. I'm praying for my kids. I'm praying for my wife. I'm praying for other people. I'm asking God to fill me. You know, I'm in a relationship every day.
Amen.
I'm not sitting at home eating bonbons, watching sports, and then Sunday I come in here, bounce myself in here, and I'm going to preach a message. No, I'm intentional. I'm in a relationship. All week I'm in a relationship.
Amen.
Bonbons.
Don't even know bonbons. I forget how old y'all are. No ice cream bars.
Yeah. Right. Out of time, Pastor.
Look, I want to tell everybody here. You have a pastor that loves you. I don't know if you think know so or not. You know what I mean? You haven't tested me, so you I don't know enough of you know or not. But you have a pastor that loves you, okay?
Amen.
Maybe you'll never get, maybe we'll be out of here before you even find out how much I love you. But I know one thing, Jaguar don't know how much. Jaguar don't get my house at 2 o'clock in the morning one time. Their car broke down on the freeway.
Yes.
We hear outside our window, Pastor! We're like, who is that? What time is it? 2:37. It's like, it's Jaqua. Our car stopped on the freeway. Me and Drea got in the car. helped them off, right? Because if it was my brother or sister, which it is, yeah, in Jesus' name,
yeah,
you're going to get up and do something, right? Amen. But love is not something you say. Love is something you do.
Amen.
You understand? It's something you do. We are the most gifted, wonderful people on planet Earth. To God, we are solid gold.
Yes.
We are like worth protecting. We are what he's been looking for. And we get eternal life, and we get a mansion, and we get to come back, and we get a new body. Yes. Hallelujah.
Woo, thank you, Jesus.
We get all of this in eternity because we made a confession, and then eventually, not all of us did it right away, right? Because we had time. We pursued righteousness.
Yes.
We didn't give up on Jesus. Let's enjoy this. Look, the numbers are telling us time is short.
Yes.
The actions of the world is telling us time is short. Okay? So get your prize. This is no time to not be intentional. Get your prize.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, dude, this is for the ring. Let's go.
Yes.
Let's fight, okay? Yes. Praise God.
Amen. Yes.